Oh, brother. We are at the Ink Spot in St. Peter's. Big Dave Canoy is doing my tattoo today, and we're looking forward to it. And Dave is a spectacular artist. Lux at 105.7 The Point down the hall from us has had her tattoos done here at the Ink Spot. Joe Buck, as he mentioned in his book, had his done here. David Fries has had tattoos done, and you can't get any better than what we're experiencing here today. And we're looking forward to it. And Ronj has a tattoo on today.
Yeah, I do. I got this thing really quickly.
Full sleeve,
full
bro.
Full sleeve, too, right? Mm-hmm. I just wanted to fit in.
You do?
Yeah, so I got a tattoo just for today.
As soon as Ronj walked in, like, there was street cred. As soon as he came in with that thing, they were like, damn, look at this guy.
I don't want the folks,
he knows his way around a tattoo parlor.
I don't want these guys to think I'm an amateur, you know what I mean?
That's right.
Guys, I would not have considered ink unless it was for a Blues Stanley Cup. And there's so many people in St. Louis. I know that STL Today did a poll. What would you do for a Blues Stanley Cup championship? This was right before they won it, and the overwhelming majority said I would get a tattoo. And obviously I made this point, and I think Michelle Smallman actually made a hashtag of it when she was producer of the Fast Lane, that that's what would happen when the Blues won, and they've been so close so many times. I honestly thought, as I wrote at 101ESPN.com, I didn't think that I was ever going to get this tattoo, but I couldn't be happier than to be getting it.
Well, it's going to look magical. We know that much. We're excited for you. Can you walk us through at this point, Randy, what part of the process are you on currently? You just sat down probably about 15 minutes ago. Where are you at now? Because we're going to be doing the whole thing here during the show.
Right. And Dave did a sketch of what I wanted, and it's absolutely perfect, and took me through the process of what it's going to look like and what things we're going to do with it, what he's going to do with it. And he's applied that sketch to my back now. And we haven't started the process of actually putting ink in. He's got my skin ready, and we're a few minutes away from getting started.
And so we have to, again, we need to be on the lookout for the warning signs of a potential pass out from you.
Yes.
Because we know that does happen occasionally to people. It's not super common, but it does happen.
Yeah, about one out of 50. And I have passed out in the past. I think I've told you guys before. One time I was getting a home physical for an insurance policy, and the nurse came to our house, and so so Joan is away, she's working, and I had been out to lunch with somebody and had angel hair pasta, and for this physical they have to take blood, and so they take blood, and I'm looking thinking, oh, this is fine, no problem at all, and all of a sudden the nurse is gently slapping me on the cheek saying, Mr. Carricker, are you okay? And I had thrown up the angel hair pasta all over my shirt. It was just the most disgusting thing ever.
Did you get the insurance?
I think we did get the policy, yeah.
Oh, good.
That's yeah, this good. One, this one's fine.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
So we'll be able to handle this. And so many people obviously get tattoos. And when they're done professionally like this, I was forewarned, obviously, as to what to expect. So I don't anticipate any problems at all. If I'm not going to be Mr. Macho Guy here. If I feel like I'm about to pass out, then I'm going to say, hey, I'm about to pass out. And they've got a nice little bed here that I can
take a nap on. So it is funny, and you mentioned like the genesis of this probably about 8 or so years ago. Maybe it was a little bit longer, maybe a little bit shorter. But it's been so funny, Randy, throughout the years during the playoffs. You know our text line. It blows up, and it talks about Randy, and it talks about the tattoo. And then here we are. Here is the day. It's finally here. You nervous at all? A little nervous?
I'm really not, no. And maybe that's because of 8 years of preparation for
that's
it,
That's probably
right?
true.
But it was amazing at the parade, however many people were at the parade, 300,000. And as I was walking up and down the sides of the street in that parade, I would say that half of the people that knew who I was and called out said, hey, Randy, what about the tat? So, and by that point, I had been in touch with Dave, and I knew what we were going to do. And I said, "Hey, we're gonna do it pretty soon." And I was showing people. People are so excited about this. I love the fact that our community, and especially the Fast Lane community, gets excited about something.
Me
like
too.
This.
I can get behind somebody else getting inked up.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it's not my pain. But I was with you the day of the parade. You and Smallman, and for about 15 minutes, we were trying to find a spot to cross over Market to get to the other side. And I heard it probably 8 or 9 times. And at least there were a couple of times you were way in front of me, and people knew who we were, and one guy said to me, is he going to get that tattoo soon? I'm like, man, everybody knows about this because you've been talking about it for so long.
Right, and that's the most heartening thing is that the people that are part of what we do every day are – they're invested, and I love the fact that people are invested about this and are tuned in today and can tune in on Facebook Live and see what the final product is going to be.
January, did you think this was possible?
No chance. Hell yeah. No. Oh, hell no.
And here's the funny thing about it. You said a moment ago that you never really thought this was going to happen. You know, in sports, most teams eventually get to that point where they win a championship, so you know the numbers are – you know, they suggest it's going to happen. It has to. The odds are that at some point this team has to win. But you have that feeling at the exact same time of, oh, my God, this is never going to happen. And now it has. And in maybe the most surprising year and fashion for this to ever happen, it happened this year. It's still crazy to think about, even though it happened like 2 weeks ago.
My guess is that 99% of the people that are getting tattoos on the heels of the Stanley Cup victory have gone through life hoping for this Stanley Cup championship. And when it lasts almost as long as your life or as long as you can remember life, it really it's life-changing. It's we just had a gentleman walk in who was so emotional about the Blues winning the Stanley Cup, and he's a longtime listener and he's a longer-time fan. And there are so many stories that go into a franchise winning their first. And I think what happened was when the Blues did win a week ago, and now it'll be 2 weeks ago on Wednesday, man, they made a lot of people's dreams come true. And I thought it was best, and you can go back and look at Michelle Smallman's Twitter timeline. At the parade, she asked Ryan O'Reilly, can you believe what you did? And then he looked around, and it is unbelievable what that group of players did and the fact that they have been able to really energize an entire community. It's amazing.
It is awesome. By the way, we have so much interest currently on the text line, 65780, about your tattoo.
And where
Randy, real quick, can you clarify once again where you're getting your tattoo? Because we did get a question.
Yeah. Some
and,
people wanted
thought it was
the
south.
Some people wanted the champ stamp.
Oh, the champ stamp.
Yeah,
that's nice.
And that no, it's going to be on the upper left quadrant of my back.
Oh,
and it's not. I'm not going to accede to the wishes of Chris Ronji and get one on my neck. I'm not getting a Stanley Cup on my neck. No, it's going to be on my back.
And also to dispel any myths, Randy does not have a pet snake. And even if he did, I don't think you're allowed to tattoo the snake. No. I don't think you could tattoo your pets.
That was the first text line.
Oh, yeah, that was on the text line. So they wanted to know if you were going to.
It's like, what does that say? Sup? It's like, no, it says Blues have won the Stanley Cup. Give me a second.
My God, it's cold in here.
So we will keep you up to date on what's happening with the tattoo during the course of this show, the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN, where it's coming up on 311. Your time check brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers, an officially licensed Rolex jeweler, and we will be here at the Ink Spot in St. Peter's until about 7 o'clock. Coming
or
up
until
next,
you pass out.
Well, you guys have to keep talking. So
oh, yeah, we'll be here. Do we just keep going if Randy falls out of the
chair?
Yeah,
of course we do. Okay. Show must go on.
Yeah, that was right. The old Jack Buck line. You got to say something. Coming up, Albert Pujols had quite a weekend in St. Louis, and not only did he enjoy it, but it's all we could have hoped for as well. That's next in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Pretty amazing weekend for Albert Pujols, who received a 75-second standing ovation in his first at-bat back in St. Louis since 2011 on Friday night. And then every ensuing at-bat, he wound up with a standing ovation from the Cardinal faithful. And obviously the home run on Saturday was momentous. And, guys, I don't think that there will be, regardless of what happens, unless the Cardinals wind up in the postseason, I can't imagine that there's going to be a bigger event that occurs at Busch Stadium this year than that Pujols home run on Saturday.
It's hard to disagree with that. Look, guys, you know how a lot of big events are where you lead up to it and there's so much buildup and there's so much excitement. And that's exactly what happened. As soon as we heard that the Angels were coming to town, it was circled on the calendar and everybody thought, all right, the return of Albert. This is going to be epic. We built up to it for the weeks and then week of. It actually lived up to it and then some. Like, that rarely happens. What an amazing weekend.
Well, when is it going to happen again that a player of his caliber a surefire first ballot, probably unanimous Hall of Famer if the voters do their jobs right, goes somewhere else after a decade plus of awesome baseball here in St. Louis and makes a return like 8 years later. I mean, how often is this ever really going to happen where you have a player like him who leaves town and, well, first of all, was as good as he was? I mean, we had to wait from Stan Musial to him. I mean, that's a long freaking time. So it's going to be probably another 30, 40, 50 years before something like this is even possible. And all that was over the weekend was an appreciation of everything he did while he was here. And I expected nothing less. That is exactly what I thought St. Louis would do when he was here, and they did just that.
And by the way, guys, the tattoo process has begun here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So initial feel, like, yeah, what does it feel that, like?
So I can handle this. I have a pretty good pain tolerance. And I feel like I can handle this, although it's going to be consistent now for several hours. So we'll see if I can handle it for the long term.
Well, if you get quiet at all, we understand that. By the way, if you are just tuning in, we're talking about Albert, but we're at the Ink Spot. We're in St. Peter's. Randy is finally getting his Stanley Cup tattoo, and the process has begun.
I am not surprised, guys. I know a lot of people were bothered by the fact that Albert got a standing ovation every single time that he stepped to the plate. I'm not bothered by that, and I'm not surprised by that. And I thought Yachty handled things really well in going out in front of the plate every single time.
Well, there were very few people, I think, that were bothered by that. You had a handful, and I know there was some
debate. Did they write three-page letters to people?
Yes, that person did.
I got that letter.
And that person made – who knows? That person is really senile at this point. But I don't think there was much – not many people were upset about that. How could you be? Listen to the crowd itself, all the people who were there. You had 46,000, 47,000 people on each one of those days, and everybody was up every time he came to the plate. I don't think there was anything wrong with that. I saw some people from the outside criticize Cardinals fans for doing that, but I think that's outrageous. This is exactly how you treat somebody who did what he did while he was here.
Didi Pujols has seen a lot, obviously, over the last few years from both St. Louis and Anaheim, and I don't think that she felt like she left under the best terms, she and Albert, but Jim Hayes caught up to Didi after the home run on Saturday.
I think we're all happy we just saw a piece of history. We knew at some point Albert was going to be Albert in this series. To watch that home run, I watched the joy on your face. Emotionally, what were you going through?
Oh, man, that probably was the most special thing I have seen in his whole career happen. That was just amazing. It's emotional.
Think about that.
Here's most special?
Most special. Isn't that incredible?
Yes. Yeah, that is. And you know what was funny is even before it happened, like the initial press conference, Randy, as Albert, as he was late for his press conference because he was hanging out with us.
You're
which
welcome.
We do appreciate that. But he talked about the couple of World Series, and then he kind of regarded this moment in that same breath of the coming back. That was before it even happened. Then it did happen. That was emotional. It really was.
Yeah, and the fact that he – I think has buried the hatchet. I get the sense that he has, and the fans have. Ron, you brought up that it took 8 years. I think it's good that it took 8 years
for him
to come back.
I agree with you. I don't know he gets that reception if it's the following season.
I don't think so.
No, that would be normal. You know, that's to me, that's a natural reaction to be upset that, and whatever happened, whatever transpired to make him leave, whether or not he felt like the Cardinals did do enough to try and keep him around, or he didn't feel like they were doing as much as the, or they weren't behaving in a way that that the Angels wanted him, and it seemed like they wanted him more, whatever happened, and who knows exactly for sure, but that doesn't matter. I do think that you do feel jaded if you're a fan base. You want a great player like that to come back. You don't want him to ever leave. So if his return occurs in 2012 or in 2011, that first season when he comes back, I don't think he gets that reception. It is a lot of it has to do with time. The fact that so much time went by, and you know, we all had time to appreciate what he did and reflect and miss that. You're nostalgic for it. You're nostalgic for the Albert days of him coming up to the plate and just how imposing he was every time, and the fact that you stopped what you were doing and made sure that you were watching an Albert at bat, whether you were watching on TV or in the ballpark. You just made sure you were paying attention. People miss that. And sometimes it
takes...
Felt
it again.
Yeah, you felt that exact same thing again, even though he was playing against you, and you're never going to feel it again after this past weekend.
And he's not the same guy.
Right.
You still felt like it. Honestly, first pitch that he swung at, and it was the first pitch he saw, I thought he went Yahtzee.
Yep.
And I thought it happened again. I'm like, oh, my God. And he ended up flying out to deep center with Harrison Bader, but it felt like he was going to do it.
So Meat and I went over to the game. I know all of you guys were there, but we were sitting in left field. In that left field porch area, there's that bar back there, and we were right in front of it.
Shocker.
And as soon as, you got to be close. No Natter Days, though. Whatever. No big deal. As soon as that ball went into the air, I think Meat and I both looked at each other like, no way. There's no way he just did that. And that was hopeful because it was a deep flyout. But I think everybody in the ballpark kind of wanted that to happen, even though it was against their own team.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about that. And then when he came out throughout the course of the evening, obviously, he got the ovations. And I thought the coolest quote I read all weekend wasn't from him. I thought it was from Mike Trout. What he said to Albert. Like, boy, every pitch, every play seems like it's a postseason. And Albert said, I lived that for 11 years.
Isn't that cool? Yeah. It really is special. And Mike Trout, I mean, we haven't had the opportunity to see him on that stage, and it certainly felt like a postseason atmosphere while we were there. Guys, two things that I didn't think that I would ever see, even with the return of Albert Pujols and all the fanfare that is going into it. One, I didn't think that we'd see our pitcher get booed after
walking a guy.
Holy crap.
That was awesome.
Michael Wacha,
that was awesome.
He was asked about it after the game, and he's like, look, dangerous hitter, you know, I'm not trying to give him a cookie. And
now,
I get it. The fans were upset. That's one.
Yeah, we have seen guys, we have seen pitchers get booed for walking somebody.
Do you walk
but
like
it's in a game situation.
Like-
yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and you can't find the plate. It's
right.
Not because, boo, give him something to hit.
And then the second one, obviously, was a curtain call for an opposing player after he hit a home run off your guy. Never thought I'd see that one before. But as soon as it was hit and the reaction happened by the fan base, not shocking at all. Albert said he got out of there as fast as possible for the curtain call because they knew it would just keep going.
Right.
And that was ridiculous. Dakota Hudson's throwing a gem. He gives up a bomb, and the place goes wild. It was so crazy.
You know, and you were talking about Molina giving him the opportunity to receive the applause, and it kind of sounded like he was lobbying for him to get back. It looked to me like he was trying to get Molina to get back behind the plate, you know, because while you enjoy that, maybe there's something, I don't know if embarrassing is the right word, but
it's got to at least be awkward.
It is totally
awkward.
Well,
it's honoring.
But I know exactly. But I was hoping that Molina would get back down in his crouch that first time and then get up again, and then walk back in front of the plate to allow the applause to continue. I was hoping that would happen, but I think he did, by and large, a really nice job of allowing Albert to hear the praise all weekend.
Coming up, we're going to talk more about Albert and to talk about the Alex Reyes newest injury with our friend Derek Gould of the Post-Dispatch and STLtoday.com. More Cardinal Baseball coming your way on 101 ESPN. That's the Cardinal President of Baseball Operations, John Mozeliak, talking about the return of Albert Pujols. It's the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Chris Ronji, Brad Thompson, Randy Carricker. And let's head to the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line. Our friend Derek Gould from the Post-Dispatch and STLtoday.com joins us after an historic and memorable weekend. Derek, thanks for taking some time with us today. How are you doing?
The bigger question is, how are you doing, Randy?
I'm doing great. Everything's going along fine here at the Ink Spot. You covered the Blues. You were the Blues beat writer for a few years. I'm sure you had that feeling that they might never win a championship. So it's cool to have them win.
When Todd Bertuzzi met Al MacInnis behind the boards there in Vancouver, I thought, well, there goes this year. That was the team I covered that had the best chance. Osgood in goal, Pronger. Barrett Jackman, Al MacInnis, that whole group. That if there was ever a team that was going to win it when I was on the beat, it was that one. And then Todd Bertuzzi, I think, what separated Al MacInnis' shoulder, a flu bug that came from Scott Mellenby, kids, elementary school, just ripped through the team, and then it was over.
Derek, and by the way, I love hearing the more sadness stories as they continue to come out about the Blues because there's a happy ending at the end of it.
Like it's funny now.
We know that there's a tattoo and a light at the end of the tunnel. Derek, this weekend you heard Mo talking about it as we were coming into it. There was so much buildup for Albert Pujols coming back to St. Louis, and it almost felt like there was no way that with all the excitement and buzz around it that it could live up to it. I feel like it exceeded it. When you look at this weekend, how do you feel? How do you feel it went? What were your emotions over the weekend?
I mean, I thought it went as well as it could possibly go. I mean, it was everybody got their moment. You know, the Cardinals got to win the series, which was important to them. They're the team that fancies themselves a contender. I know the Angels do, but. Okay. not quite. you know, the Cardinals need to be a contender. I just think it was everything. You know, if somebody wanted to go there for catharsis, they got it. If someone wanted to go there to celebrate the great career of a player, they got it. If someone wanted to go to the ballpark to celebrate, you know, a great contributor to the community, they got that. If they wanted to go there to see one last highlight, they got that. If they wanted to go there to see what direction the Cardinals are going to go in next, they got that. If they wanted to go and see the best player in the game, they got that with Mike Trout, who just won the Player of the Week award. And was anybody paying attention to what he did this weekend? I mean, it was everything. It had everything. And I thought it was really fascinating. I know Ben Fredrickson, my colleague at the Post-Dispatch, put this on Twitter, and it was in different places in the coverage as well, you know, that Albert Pujols said some of his teammates were like, you know, they don't have October experience. You know, collectively, they probably don't have as much October experience as Busch Stadium does, the current one. And I think, you know, he was saying about the players were just talking about the atmosphere and how it felt like a playoff game. And he said, I lived that for 11 years. It was a good reminder of what that place could be like. And for Paul DeJong and Jack Flaherty and Colton Wong and these players who weren't there for Pujols, and maybe only have heard, or Paul Goldschmidt, what that place is like when you win there. I was really struck by that. So the weekend had everything. There you couldn't walk away from that series without going, Callie, this is a special place for baseball. That was a special player. Okay, now remember how it was when it was a special team and there were special results?
It was a tremendous weekend, and I think that's what people remembered about it. That's what was so great about him being back is the nostalgia of him being back, and we're certainly going to talk more about that. But here in the last couple of minutes, some pretty big breaking news. The Cardinals with a release that says Cardinals pitcher Jordan Hicks diagnosed with a torn UCL. Mm. So that's not good. I know they were hoping it was just going to be a handful of days, maybe a short DL stint, but this is not good.
No, that was the worst that they, that was the worst thing that they were hope, or that's the worst outcome. They were trying to, and I'm trying to call this up as well as we talk. You guys caught me as I was working on it, but yeah, the Cardinals yesterday were encouraged by how he went through the elbow tests. You know, they have a series of tests that they do at the ballpark to see how the elbow responds and to see how the strength is and everything like that. They were encouraged by it, but they wanted to have a picture taken of that elbow just to know what the damage could be. And that's what revealed it. You know, they talked about it as if it was going to be sort of just a necessary checkpoint. Jordan left the ballpark last night, worried a little bit. But eager to see what the result was. And, of course, this means that he's going to be gone for a while.
What do you think the fallout is then? Who's the nominal closer, and how does that affect the bullpen overall?
Well, I think what you're going to see is that Carlos Martinez comes in as a possible closer. You know, he is the one with the experience. He's the one with, you know, the pedigree. I mean, he did well last year, and when you look at what, you know, they have out there, you know, Andrew Miller, he could do it, but he hasn't been as consistent as you want. John Gant could do it. He's had an all-star ready last night aside. He has had an all-star. I'm sorry, guys. You guys are catching me as I'm getting a lot of text messages, so hearing you off, as you can imagine. Anyway, so John Gant has had an all-star turn last night aside, leads the team in holds, has pitched very well. I think being in relief has brought out the best in him, certainly the best in some of his stuff. And when you look at what else, other options they have out there, I mean, it's just, you know, it's they haven't been as consistent as they want, as consistent as they need. You know, I think it really is going to rely on some kind of creativity to handle the ninth inning, and then having one of those guys, most likely Carlos Martinez, rise up to take that spot.
And Derek, while they have him in the minor leagues grooming more so as a starter, I'm sure a lot of people are thinking to themselves, well, what about Alex Reyes? I mean, Reyes could be a guy. First of all, he's been inconsistent. And then yesterday he ends up leaving with a pectoral, what they're assuming is a pectoral issue. I mean, I would think, Derek, just looking down the line a little bit, that could be a relatively big blow if it's something that it puts him on the shelf for a while.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, it brings up concerns about health, right, which always kind of linger there. It's what has caused this ongoing issue or these ongoing issues in that area. Does he have to look at mechanics? Does he have to look at how he can change things? You know, what is causing damage, you know, radiating up from the elbow? Then he has a shoulder problem last year. Now back in that pectoral area, what is he doing? Or what is going on when he pitches or in his recovery or in his strengthening that leaves him vulnerable to ongoing issues. I mean, at some point in time, we're probably at that point, it becomes, you know, what he provides to the major league level at this point, it, you know, is extra. They're not counting on it. It's a bonus. They're not going to lean on it or rely on it. If they get it, great. But if they don't, they just can't count on it, Brad.
Do you assume, Derek, that, and we are, you know, about a month away, a little bit over a month away from the trade deadline, so a lot could change here in the next few weeks, but do you assume that the way they're going to operate is like they are going for it, like they are going to make deals with the intention of still trying to win this division? They're close right now, as we sit here on June 24th, and we know they have needs that they probably should address. How do you think this will change things for them?
You mean the Hicks absence?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I think as of right now, it doesn't, they'd still need to add a starter. They still would be benefit from looking for a starter. It's not unusual for the Cardinals to add some kind of relief depth. Maybe that puts it a little bit higher up on the list at this point. But, you know, you're talking about they should be able to fill in for this spot. They won't have a fire-breathing dragon coming out in the ninth like Jordan Hicks. There's just not another arm like that in baseball. However, you know, you look at what they could do in the ninth. They have options out there. I'm not sure you can say the same because of how much moves they've had on the pitching staff, right, when it comes to the starters. I mean, they've moved Carlos Martinez out of the rotation. Now he has a prominent role in the bullpen and maybe even more prominent. John Gant was a candidate for the rotation, and he's now in the bullpen. You've had Alex Reyes. We just talked about him. Had inconsistency from other guys when it comes to the rotation. Michael Wacha has struggled at times. He's had a health issue, been on the injured list already once. So, you know, when you look at where they were 30 minutes ago, and their shopping list at the trade deadline and what they need for, you know, to maybe make a run or to run ahead in the division, it's starting pitching. And now, right now, this minute, even after the Hicks diagnosis, it's still starting pitching when you talk about what can make the biggest difference for this team.
Last thing for Derek Gould, and you'll be able to read his work about the torn UCL for Jordan Hicks at stltoday.com. Follow him on Twitter at dgould, G-O-O-L-D. And, Derek, you mentioned that the Cardinals have had some special teams. Here we are right now on June 24th. 13 of the 15 teams in the National League are within 3.5 games of a playoff spot. Setting the Hicks situation aside, looking at the offense, looking at the starting pitching, is this team now capable of being one of the final five come October?
Not probably not without their best hitters being their better hitters, or with help on the pitching staff. I mean, I think, you know, they've taken advantage of a soft spot in their schedule. You know, they've kind of got their traction back, but they still need their best hitters to be their best hitters. You know, Matt Carpenter, Paul Goldschmidt, these guys still need to hit like the back of their baseball cards, as they say. And more consistency from the rotation. That's really, you know, year in, year out, that's what we see wins the division. You know, the team that can turn out the quality starts, that can really get, you know, kind of get the day in, day out, six innings, that allow the bullpen not to be tapped, that allow the bullpen not to be stretched, that allow, you know, the rotation to kind of chug along. That's the kind of team that stands out, because series by series, they have a chance to win. It's not like they have a chance to win this series and then they're holding on for dear bullpen survives the next series. And they got their starters back and they do well in the next series. You know, and a cycle is not what allows a team to contend for a division title or hold on for a division title. And really, that's what the Cardinals need. They need more consistency from their starters just to make everything else work.
Derek Gould, we always appreciate your time. Thanks so much. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Sorry about that. It was right there at the beginning. You can imagine all the messages coming in.
Perfect timing.
Yeah, we know you are busy. That is Derek Gould from STLtoday.com and the St. Louis Post-Dispatch on 101 ESPN. Coming up, an off day for the Cardinals, but a loss anyway. We've got your hot topics coming up on 101 ESPN. Well, obviously, the big news of the day, Jordan Hicks, the Cardinal closer and right-hander, diagnosed with a torn ulnar collateral ligament in his right elbow, and so he will need to undergo Tommy John surgery. And that brings us to our mic drop. If you would use the mic drop feature on the 101 ESPN app, who would you like to see be the Cardinal closer? And we'll hear from you later on in the show. Guys, one guy that you could get has been the Cardinal closer before, Trevor Rosenthal, released by the Nationals.
Yeah, he's available.
I don't know if I'm going to make a lateral move and put him right into the ninth inning. I'd be interested, though, in reuniting a little bit. What could it hurt? It ain't going to cost you much money. What did he make, $7 million this year, I think it was?
I think that's what they owe
him. Yeah, I mean,
now,
he's
right.
Going to he get paid. I'd be interested in that. This is crappy news for sure. I mean, I wouldn't say it's shocking by any means. You have somebody that has that kind of torque and throws the way that Jordan Hicks does. At some point, I think it's almost like physics. I mean, it's going to happen. At some point, you're going to have some sort of an injury. Now, we will wait to hear the severity of the UCL tear, but my initial thought is, because, I mean, the question is going to be, do you rehab it? Do you try to come back? My initial thought is have Tommy John ASAP. I mean,
get it done.
Yeah, just get it done, get it over with. Now, certainly there are a lot more than my totally on-the-face diagnosis of get Tommy John right away.
Right.
But my thought process is just mainly, first of all, if it's a tear, look, at some point it's probably going to happen,
right.
You know, whether you rehab it or not. And just selfishly as a Cardinal fan, I'd like him back as soon as possible, fully healed. So you look a year, maybe he's back by the All-Star break next year, and then he's ready for a run in the second half. I think that's about as good as it's going to get for Cardinal fans.
As a player, though, I know that you want to avoid surgery whenever you can, and you hope that you're able to rehab and it's going to be fine, but if it certainly looks like we're headed that direction anyway, so you'd like to get it done sooner than later.
If they sent out the email already that he has a UCL tear,
yes,
that's telling you a lot of things. Because they could, if it was a very slight tear that they looked at, they could have just said, "Oh, well, he's got some elbow
strain.
Inflammation or something like that," and they could have gone. So I think that we'll be getting another email here in the near future. Mm-hmm.
Guys, I buy into the John Smoltz philosophy that this max effort is taking its toll on young pitchers. And I think this is just another example of that. I think Walker is an example of that. Man, it's just not natural to throw 102 miles an hour. And you wonder how many guys have been affected by, as youngsters, when they're 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, they're throwing with max effort. There's only so many pitches you have in an arm when you do that.
Yeah, no, certainly. You do only have so many bullets. First things first, throwing a baseball is completely unnatural. You know, getting your arm in that position and throwing like that, it's just not a natural thing to do. It's not like the underhand softball pitching. That's a more natural motion.
You can do that every day.
Than it is. And some of these rules do, and they're unbelievable. Yep. But the overhand is not. But I totally agree with the max effort all the time. But this is a trend that is not going to change anytime soon. This is max effort, and not necessarily max effort, but velocity is what teams are looking for. That's what scouts call about. And while it's nice to be able to pitch, everybody thinks that they can teach you how to pitch. They can't teach the velocity. While I do believe that you can get somebody in your organization, you can teach them the right things, and he can gain velocity, they'd much rather go that direction and get it. The problem is, and not to say there's another Jordan Hicks waiting right behind Jordan Hicks, but looking around baseball, you lose a guy that throws 97 to 100 for a while, and a lot of times you got a guy that throws 97 to 100 behind him.
And the other side of this now is when he does come back, you have no idea what he's going to be. And we're probably a long way from that, especially if he does get the surgery, and we don't know for sure that's what's going to happen, but the likelihood is that is what happens. When he comes back from it, if it's the middle of next season or whenever it is, I don't think you can guarantee he's 100, 200, 300, 4 miles an hour anymore. So he's going to have to learn how to be a slightly different pitcher. He can probably still throw hard when he comes back, but you're not getting 105 anymore. I would think you're not going to get 105 anymore.
I don't know about that. Guys come back now from Tommy John and they throw just as hard. Some guys end up throwing harder. Now, oftentimes the guys that throw harder are the guys that didn't really know how to take care of their bodies in the first place, and you get a year off to rehab and get your whole body stronger, so it's not crazy to come back and think that you're going to throw harder. But you wonder with Hicks. Hicks has turned into a guy that isn't just a flamethrower. He's got a slider, and it's filthy. Like, you wonder, you know, if he has the feel for that when he's able to come back. He's still young. He's still got plenty of opportunities to get healthy and have a great career, but it's a blow for right now, and I'm sure that he's going through a bunch of emotions where he's thinking, it's like, oh, well, maybe I can try to rehab, or maybe I can do this, and you know, you feel bad because you think you got the world on a string, and then all of a sudden your livelihood is kind of hanging there, even though we know the return rate for a guy that has Tommy John is very high. I'm guessing pretty emotional for him right now.
It is, but also the revision for the surgery has gotten, in the last several years, the trend is not good for guys who get the Tommy John and then have to get it again at some point within the next couple of years. So he may want to alter what he is. I don't know. He might just say, this is what got me here. 103 miles an hour is what got me
here. I don't think he's going to be a thumber. So.
Yeah, so, I mean, but he might want to consider altering at least a little bit what he does. Either way, this is just really not good news for the
Cardinals. Well, here's one real quick, just along the same topics of a guy altering what he does. And I'm not saying that Jordan Hicks is everything that he does is perfect mechanically, but look at Adam Wainwright. Adam Wainwright's mechanics are about as clean as you're going to get. Well, he had Tommy John as well. Mm-hmm. So it's sometimes it just is what it is. You have to put in the work. You have to go through the rehab. You have to trust your surgeons. You have to trust the people that are in place with the organization to get you back where you need to get. And then you go back to work in 12 months.
Guys, a couple of other things. If you have the soccer game today, DVR, turn your radio down. Okay, it's down. The USA women's team in the World Cup beat Spain 2-1 today, so the U.S. team advances. Okay, turn your radio up.
How are they going to turn the radio up if they're not listening, Randy?
That's a great question. Through osmosis, I guess.
I think it's ESPN you're looking for.
ESPN, yeah. The other thing is, and tell me if you guys agree with this, there are some Givens in sports, and one of those
Robin Givens?
No. She used to be in sports.
Right, with Mike Tyson.
Yeah, that was back in the day.
That wasn't a great relationship, I don't think.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think any of his relationships have been good, except with those pigeons.
Yeah, and the relationship between Mickey Callaway and the Newsday beat writer in New York is apparently not great either. When you're a New York manager, coach, player, and you get into it and you start calling beat writer names, you are not long for that job. And Mickey Callaway is not long for that job as manager of the Mets.
Especially when what sets you off is, see you tomorrow, Mickey.
Exactly.
Don't be a smartass. what do you mean?
I'm literally saying, we'll see you tomorrow. Is that okay?
Yeah. Well, apparently he was upset. It was the same reporter that was not. I won't say grilling him. He was asking him legitimate questions about his bullpen usage. I mean, that's part of it. Part of being the manager is you get asked questions. Mm-hmm. You might think they're stupid, but you have to figure out a way to answer them and do so in a decent fashion. So he did say that, he said the one of "Don't be a smartass." Then apparently just kept muttering stuff as he was walking away further and further. Then came back for more, and then Vargas got in on it, and apparently had to be held back a little bit. What a mess. The Mets are a mess, and I am right there with you. They need a new leader. They need somebody there that can fix that clubhouse and provide that leadership, and it doesn't seem that Callaway's doing that.
No, and Mr. Interim Manager Jim Riegelman is their bench coach. So I think he's done it 5 times.
He picks good spots.
Yeah, he really does.
That's a nice living, though.
It is, yeah. You've managed
you
for half
well
a year.
Paid.
You get a contract?
Yeah.
Not bad at all.
I thought Callaway for sure was just trying to lose his job. You know,
it seems like it. Yeah.
Because that's the only way you still collect some money.
Yeah.
You can't just quit and then collect all that money.
Well, and maybe,
well, I can't get fired.
Maybe his thought is, too, it's like, you know, this whole manager thing, this ain't for me. I was very happy just being a pitching coach. And if I get canned here, I can make a bunch of money and then go back to being a pitching coach in a couple of years. But I will be very surprised, to your point, Randy, if Mickey Callaway still has a job by the end of the year.
I will, too. Those are your hot topics of the day here on 101 ESPN. We are at the Ink Spot in St. Peter's. The Stanley Cup Championship tattoo is being applied to my back today. And Wayne is also getting a Stanley Cup Championship tattoo. He was in here before I was today, and he's getting his. And by the way, if you're getting a Stanley Cup Championship tattoo, the Ink Spot in either St. Peter's or in Troy is the place to go. Big Dave Canoy is applying mine. Anyway, Wayne is here, and he is going to take on me in the 4 o'clock fight next on 101 ESPN.
That's a first.